Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Previously on Gresh and Keefe.
So apparently Nick Saban is a big fan of D's jokes.
Who isn't?
Well, I would agree.
Who isn't?
This is Gresh and Keefe.
3-1 pitch coming to Bogaerts. Swing. There's a drive high and deep left center field. Back by the wall and gone. 2-run homer. And the Red Sox have their sixth straight victory.
Andy Gresh.
Do you maybe call fewer of those types of plays that would ask for Mac to push it down the field?
I trust him completely. I'm the first one to say that I could do a better job at a number of things. There's, believe me, there's not a whole lot that we're holding back for him.
Rich Keefe.
If anybody could do it, it's probably him.
Yeah, I've always appreciated the encouraging words of Coach Belichick.
It's funny you can hear encouragement in that.
Gresh and Keefe starts right now.
It is good!
No, he didn't. It's so good.
On WEEI.
We will get to the comments of Tom Brady Sr. in just a little bit, but the Boston Red Sox continue their march to the playoffs. And I know that we have used the phrase, oh, roller coaster. It's like the Great American Scream Machine that they used to have out there at Six Flags. This has been some kind of season for the Boston Red Sox, and now as we head down the final 2 weeks of the regular season, the American League wildcard race is sort of crystallizing, and the Red Sox did what they had to do yesterday, which was to beat the Mets.
They've checked out. They've checked out a while ago.
They're bad.
They've never been able to hit. I mean, you got to go back to Mike Piazza for where the Mets get hit a little bit. But it was kind of touch and go there for a little while. You're like, oh, God, they're going to lose to the Mets? Like, midway through that game, you're like, they're not going to lose a home game to the Mets, are they? And they were able to figure it out, had some timely hitting. It was one of those comebacks that they just dominated the first half of the season. So, yeah, that was one that they needed. This is a very inferior opponent. And they were able to get in there and get the win.
Fifth inning, Xander Bogaerts with a bomb that ended up winning it.
3-1 pitch coming to Bogaerts. Here it is. Swing. There's a drive high and deep left center field. Back by the wall and gone. 2-run homer. 4-2 Red Sox. Xander with a blast. A high line drive. His 23rd of the year. He has 77 RBIs. 4-2 Boston. He had a bullet between the flagpole and the light stander.
Yes! Joe Castiglione on the Shaw's and Star Market Red Sox Radio Network. So that turned out to be the game winner as 6-3 was the final. And how about Xander Bogaerts this year? Once again, very, I would say, quietly putting together another nice season. He's hitting .303. That was the 23rd of the year in terms of the, as you would say, Keefe, ya-ya ding-dongs. Mm-hmm. He's got 150 hits, and he's driven in 79 runs. So you're going to get probably another, 25 home run, season possibly 90 RBI season out of Xander Bogaerts, who's been steady Freddy.
Kind of wanted a little bit more. I'll be honest. I think the way he started the year, remember the first couple of months, you could consider him an MVP candidate through the first couple months of the season. And he was an all-star, and he should have been an all-star. And then he kind of dipped a little bit. And I think the year-end totals will be pretty respectable. Like, you see what they are right now. You have 10 games left to go. Maybe he socks another homer, drives in a few more runs, keeps the average over 300. You'll take it. It's a solid season. But I was hoping it'd be more of a top five player in the American League season.
So
and
you
I don't think it's been that.
So you wanted a more of a Rafael Devers offensive performance out of Xander Bogaerts.
A little bit, yeah.
A la Devers, who's going to...
Devers has been awesome.
He's gonna finish top five in a couple of categories, mm-hmm. it looks like, when it's all said and done. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Bogaerts is one of those guys, like, look, you can't look at the numbers last year. You can project them out on what they would have been. But last year is such an outlier in terms of the numbers. But for me, we used to do this with Manny and Ortiz when they were here, right? Well, with Manny, put in 30 and 120, and with David, put in 40 and 120 RBI.
Right.
For me, with Xander, if he's 25 to 30 home runs and he's pushing 90 to 100 RBI, that's at least for me the expectation that I have for him going into
the year. See, I think there are all-stars, and then there are superstars. So, like, mm-hmm. Manny and Ortiz were superstars.
Yes.
And I feel like Xander Bogaerts kind of touches that point at times, but overall is just an all-star, which is still good, which is still what you want. But I think, to me, it's really the month-to-month splits have been pretty crazy. Like, he, in the month of July and August, was not that good of a player, right? Like, he was, like, below average. But May, June, and now what we've seen the month of September, that's where he's been an absolute stud. I mean, you look at the month of September, he's hitting .361 with an OPS over 1,100. For the month of August, his OPS was .759. And for the month of July, it was .730. But that ain't, like, that's not great. He hit .234 in July and .258 in August. So these two dip months, and I don't think it was a coincidence. That's also when the team kind of struggled a little bit.
Yep.
And I know, you know, he goes on the COVID list. He missed time. But even the games that he did play, he wasn't great. And so at least in September, and I know he didn't start until he missed the first week of September, but since he's been back, he's been really, really good. So if they have any chance, you know, in the play-in game, and if they happen to make a series, they're going to need this guy to be what he was the first couple months of the season, have a chance.
Now, the rest of the teams around the Red Sox in the American League wildcard race, the Yankees were winners yesterday. It was close in Toronto. Tampa loaded the bases in the ninth inning, mm-hmm. and they got out of the jam. So Toronto wins. The Yankees win. And in a way, it's kind of good. Cross another game off of the list. Right now, the Red Sox still have that game and a half lead over Toronto. Toronto is a half game up on New York. And we know that Oakland is 2.5 back, but we're not really worried about them. And quite honestly, relative to the Red Sox, we don't even have to think about Oakland and Seattle really anymore. It's more about dealing with Toronto and the Yankees. And tonight, Chris Sale the mound once again. And we said, look, you can't expect sweeps all the time. Like, beating Baltimore, you should sweep. If you split with the Mets, it's not the worst thing in the world. However, when you have arguably your best pitcher, 4-0 with an ERA under 2.5, and I know that Eovaldi's been great this year, but if Sale's going to jump back into a spot, in a big spot, at home, this is one where he gives you a good performance. You put up some runs, and you find a way to sweep the Mets.
Right, exactly. Because, you know, you're able to win last night where you've had a starter, and Rodriguez has been up and down, right? Like, he's had some good performances and a lot of bad performances and a bunch of there in the middle, and you're like, oh, okay, whatever. But you find a way to win that. Now you got to take both games against the Mets. And then that way there's just so much less pressure on the Yankee series. Like, you don't have to sweep them. You don't have to even win the series, in my opinion. If you beat the Mets tonight, you win one game against the Yankees, and then you have just a layup for the final six games of the season. You're going to be a playoff team. But if Sale gets rocked around tonight and the Yankees are able to, you know, sweep, then it's a different story. But right now, with 10 games to go, they're in a pretty good spot.
I'm with you. 10:09, Gresham Keefe here with you on the WEEI Sports Radio Network. Tom E. Curran of NBC Sports Boston, who are about to get into some of the work that he has done the last 12 hours. Tommy is on a plane. He's heading to Tampa right now. Normally, we talk to him at 12:10. We will talk to him on the ground in Tampa, 1:10 p.m. for Tom E. Curran of NBC Sports Boston. Of course, we welcome you upon the 3T, text 37937 via Twitter, your comments at Gresh Keefe. And of course, you can watch us do this show, weei.com/watch. Shimey is all over the Twitch chat. Now, what we're about to hear ties into a little something from yesterday, where Tom Brady on his podcast with Scratchy Jim Gray reacted to something that Bill Belichick said on the Greg Hill show of the whole Tom can play until 50.
Yeah, who'd know better than him?
Right.
Yeah.
So Brady did this tap dance of the, oh, it's nice to get a compliment from Bill, blah, blah, blah. And then we see yesterday that Tommy Curran of NBC Sports Boston, who'll be with us in the one, talked to Tom Brady Sr.
Oh, yeah.
Now, before we get into this, does this kind of reek of Cecil Newton?
A little bit.
Or a lot of bit?
A lot of bit. Yeah, I don't understand this phenomenon where you have full grown adult man or woman, and they have their father speaking for them.
I am Cam.
It's outrageous to me. I don't really get it. And I normally, Gresh, don't like the real world to sports analogies. I think there's a lot that's different between the professional sports world and like everybody else's 9-to-5 job.
Right.
However,
right.
I will do one right now.
Yes.
Think about if anybody, and again, let's say between the ages of 27 and 47,
okay,
just as a range. And let's say you were really successful at your job for a while, and then you're no longer work at that place, but you're still working in that field and you're doing really well for another place. And then they're like, hey, let's talk to your dad and have your dad explain why you were disrespected in one place and how great it's going in another place. Let's get your daddy on a podcast. If when you got let go from
yes,
a previous station,
that's right.
If I called up Mr. Gresh, it was like, "Hey, Mr. Gresh, you want to come on and talk and defend your son?"
He would say,
"How would
F
that go?"
You. Yeah, he would hang up on you and think it's a rib. Number one,
yeah, right.
And then he would probably, and then people would learn my ability
right,
to number one, willingly say no, and number two, cut a scathing promo because this was a guy in the early '80s who was yelling in the dressing room of a suit store, well, "They don't make pants for men with balls." Here,
that's the
kind of right. That's kind of but
you're like your dad was like LBJ.
My dad is more like Captain Lou Albano, oh, minus right, the freaking rubber band sticking out of his face. That's really what he looks like.
All right, fair enough.
But to the point.
But like he's gonna do interviews. Like
yeah,
what are you doing? Tom Brady's a 44-year-old. He's 44 years old, and his daddy is doing podcasts. And again, I'm not even besmirching Curran. We're all talking about a great job by Curran.
And a lot of people know.
Talk about,
and a lot of people know there's that relationship there between Tom E. Curran and Tom E. Brady Sr.
I don't blame Curran at all for asking. And if as soon as he said yes, I'm like, great. This is going to make a lot of news. This is great for us. It's great for NBC Boston. It's great for EEI, the whole thing. But for the father to be like, yeah, I'm in. I'll do the interview. My God, I don't get it. It's so bizarre to me. It was, and I'm being consistent because it was bizarre when Cecil was doing it. It was bizarre when Cecil's up there, you know, being the pitch man or the hype man for Cam Newton.
But at least Cam was in the video.
At least Cam, good point. Cam was in the video, and Cam invited him on, and there was full transparency, and Cam could talk with him. Also, a little bit different. Cam, at that moment, and still now, out of the league. Cam's out of the league, and he's doing a thing with his dad. Still weird, but okay, that's what it was. This is Tom Brady's a week and a half away from playing against his former team, and his dad's like, yeah, I'll hop on and do a podcast to defend my son, who, by the way, everybody knows is the greatest football player of all time, and yet the level of disrespect apparently is off the charts.
I'm glad you said that, because I do think that adds layers of sort of context to this in this discussion, but Tommy asked Tom E. Brady Sr. about the upcoming game and quote-unquote redemption.
Do you find a measure of vindication for your kid?
Damn right. Belichick wanted him out the door, and last year he threw 56 touchdowns. I think that's a pretty good year.
Do you think that Tom feels the same way?
Damn right.
Use the hashtag damn right, and you can buy the damn right t-shirts now at the TB12 store.
Damn rights.
God.
Redemption today is spelled B-R-A-D-Y.
How funny you say that. I got an Anchorman shirt on today with the whole
Channel 4 news team.
Yeah, Panda Watch is on the back. So this is another one of those instances where we get the we, right?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't in that one. But, John, let's get to the feeling on TB12 coming back to New England. Because I do think now putting these together, because, look, let's open up the phones at 617-779-7937. Why doesn't Tom Brady just say it himself. Would anybody condemn Tom Brady if he said what you are about to hear? Curran asking Tom Sr. the feeling of coming back to New England.
My feeling is that Tommy is extraordinarily appreciative of everything that happened during his New England career, and he's more than happy that he's moved on, because it was pretty obvious that the Patriot regime felt that it was time for him to move on. And frankly, you know, it may well have been the perfect for Belichick to move on from him. On the other hand, I think the Tampa Bay Bucks are pretty happy that the decision was made in Foxborough that they didn't want to afford him or didn't want to keep him when his last contract came up.
Oh, yeah, the Bucks are happy, Tom. You think the Bucks are happy? I'm pretty sure the Bucks are happy. So basically he's saying that the Patriots wouldn't pay him, right? That's what it wants. So Tom wanted
and
more money.
And then basically it's Belichick who ran him out of town.
Right.
And again, who 7 years ago? Okay, false call 7 years ago. No, but who 7 years ago would have thought that at 44, Tom Brady would still be one of the two or three best quarterbacks in the league? Would you have signed up? Would you have bet
7 years ago? No.
Would you have bet the house on that?
No.
7 years ago. And I know.
So 7 years ago, no. But in 2019, if he wanted a 2 year extension and I didn't have a backup quarterback, which they didn't,
mm-hmm.
I would have signed him to a 2 year deal then.
See, again, this is where the Bill Belichick in his mind has seen 50 years of NFL football. And over 50 years of NFL football, we've never seen anybody like Tom Brady. No one has ever played this well into their 40s. And if Bill Belichick, all the way back when they drafted Jimmy Garoppolo, thought the clock is ticking on this guy and eventually he's going to show up and be Vinny Testaverde, Tom Brady has done the amazing, which is he has outlived every NFL life any of us could have ever predicted for him. On the field, yeah. Longevity. So what Bill Belichick is being criticized for, according to Tom Brady Sr., is that he didn't believe my kid's hype. Because Tom Brady said, I want to play till I'm 45. Mm-hmm. Did you buy that?
Mm-hmm.
How many of us, Patriot
fans? Well, 45,
fans,
I know.
But how many people really bought that? But that's the thing.
See, So I don't like Tom Brady Sr. doing the interview, but I do think he brings up a lot of good points. Because what I really didn't like and what I really wanted to push back against was at the end when Tom Brady left and Robert Kraft, Gresh, said that, oh, if he wanted to be here, he'd still be here. That, to me, was pretty disingenuous. They didn't want to pay him. They didn't want to give him a long-term deal. There are some reports out there that they ended up not even offering him anything, and they decided to rip the Band-Aid off. Because if Bill Belichick has always been a get rid of a guy a year too soon than a year too late.
Absolutely.
And it's a good way of running a business. But when you don't have somebody to back him up, it was like they had the greatest tight end and the greatest quarterback of all time, and then the next year they had one of the worst quarterbacks and one of the worst tight ends of all time. There's no backup plan.
Right.
And it's taken a full year. So why couldn't have you have done that later? Why couldn't have you have committed two more years to Brady and then maybe drafted his backup in that time, or had that year where you kind of follow it up after Brady, like milk every last drop out of it?
Well, I think this gets to a little bit of the ruthlessness of Bill Belichick and the history shows this is what has happened. And maybe this is where you get on Bill Belichick for being a little inflexible. But again, he's looking at this guy getting older and he's saying at 40, we know we had the stat yesterday.
Oh, I know. It's
of
crazy.
All the QBs combined age 41 and older, they've thrown 109 touchdowns. Since turning 41, Tom Brady is, you know, like past that by 10, and he's going to blow by it in the high speed lane. And I think with Bill, he's all like, I think it's the whole, these are the rules in which I operate from a personnel standpoint, and I'm not bending on them. And in fact, I think Belichick bent on them to keep Brady as long as he did, quite honestly.
He might have, but I guess my question would be, you can't just say, oh, we're going to get rid of him because nobody's ever been good at 44, so he can't be. But if you saw a decline, if Belichick saw it, right? Say he had the same assessment as Max Kellerman.
Okay.
Not saying that he did.
Nope.
But that makes more sense to me. Like, use your eye test rather than the history book. because things are changing all the time. When Bill first got into the league, I don't even think the forward pass was invented. So things change. Things change. You have to adapt on the fly. You have the greatest quarterback of all time. He was still good. He just had bad pieces around him, and then things kind of fell apart. Now, don't get me wrong. I didn't expect him to be this great at 44 years old, leading the league in touchdown
passes.
And
that is a big part of this narrative, which is, was Bill wrong? Yeah, but guess what? That he's no different than the rest of us.
No, a lot of people were. But here's what's also confusing. Bill Belichick drafted Tom Brady's replacement in 2014.
Yes.
Traded that guy away in 17 mm-hmm. and never brought in another viable backup. Never used the high pick until he was gone. The highest pick was Stidham in the fourth round. I don't even count that.
Well, do you think it's a matter of Bill finding a guy that he liked a la Garoppolo? Because remember when they would take like Kevin O'Connell, right?
And yeah, and that was a pretty high pick too.
It was like a fourth, I think it was,
might have been a third.
On him.
O'Connell might have been a third. Okay. And like Mallett was a third.
And I know that Bill was ready to move on from him early because if I remember, Scott Pioli has kind of talked about, right, but that's the thing. Like,
good coach though now.
When you know you didn't have it, then you got rid of the guy. Because I think as we have seen here with Mac Jones, it's got to be the right guy.
Yeah.
We look at it and say, oh, that guy's a good quarterback. Why can't he play here? I don't think Belichick looks at those guys that way.
But that's another reason to me that they should have kept Tom Brady because they didn't have the right guy. The right guy wasn't there. So rather than forcing it, keep Brady while you got your eyes peeled for the next guy. Maybe at the college level, maybe you see a guy struggling somewhere else like they've done before with other positions, right? Mm-hmm. Like they found Wes Welker and they're like, oh, he'd be a lot better here than he was there. Maybe you do that with quarterback, but to have a nothing season in 2020 still to me was one of the more surprising things that Bill's ever done.
And for those who haven't heard my Keefspiracy, not only was the sand out of the hourglass with Jimmy Garoppolo and contractually they weren't going to be able to pay guys enough money to be able to keep them here, let's also remember that Garoppolo had the same agent as Brady, so it's difficult to negotiate that from the Belichick side. And my big Keefspiracy, he sent Jimmy Garoppolo to San Francisco because that was Tom Brady's mistress. That was the football mistress he always wanted to go to. And by sending him to San Francisco, and they, of course, did exactly what I'm sure Belichick thought. Let's turn around and give him $100 million. And that's exactly what they did.
Right.
To where they weren't, when the time came, they weren't even a factor in the race for Tom Brady.
No.
So I do think there are some layers to this, and we will get into it with you. The lines are jumping. 617-779-7937. Does Tom Brady Sr. just need to shut up? Now that we look back, is it easy to just say, well, Carspell screwed up because Brady's playing until he's 45. He said it and he meant it. You know, the old, I meant what I said. I said what I meant. An elephant's memory, 100%. Like that kind of deal. 617-779-7937. Tom E. Curran will join us from Tampa in the 1 o'clock hour. It is also What If Wednesday. Rob Bradford will join us to talk Red Sox as well. We will get into Julian Edelman. Lots to get to, including you, on the comments from Tom Brady Sr. And how many of you out there just want him to shut up?
Follow us on Twitter.
Long ding dongs. Sign me up.
At Gresh Keefe. At Keefe21. At The Real Gresh. And always
at WEEI.
How will you feel when you come to Gillette Stadium for that game?
Very nostalgic. That was our home for 20 years. The fans embraced Tommy and the city embraced Tommy and the team embraced Tommy for a while. And so when he comes home, it's going to be a real treat that he spent 20 years making his mark in Boston. We owe a lot to the Patriots and a lot to the Boston.
We, Tom Brady Sr.
Yeah.
We owe a lot.
Yeah, he's strapping the helmet on, getting out there. He had a couple of catches, I think.
Hey, he was big in Super Bowl 36, snow game, his cheering. I mean, really,
yeah.
Jermaine Wiggins has talked about it many times,
right.
How
where would they be
looking
it?
Over and seeing Tom Sr. in that dump of a stadium before Gillette was even built. Oh, my God.
That was our home for 20 years.
Pretty good.
Who's home for 20 years?
Theirs.
Yeah. And how quick did his wife want to get the hell out of New England because she didn't want to deal with snow? 10:32, Gresh and Keefe. That is the comments of Tom Brady Sr. with our guy Tommy Curran, who will be with us when he lands in Tampa at 1:10 p.m. But let's get to you. 617-779-7937. Do you want to tell the old man to shut up? Are you backing him? I think a lot of us have kind of come to grips with Brady has left. Everybody's got their theories as to why. And, of course, it comes up again because next week, look out, it's going to be on like Donkey Kong in
you
a big way.
You can't hype it enough. You really can't. I mean, it's going to be it's going to be the most watched regular season game in the history of football.
I next to the Super Bowl,
yeah.
The biggest game in the NFL this year is next weekend in Gillette Stadium.
Not just this year. I mean, I think you have to go back to Favre with the Vikings against the Packers. Like, that was a massive game. And that was removed, too, because everyone went to the Jets first, then he went to the Vikings.
That's right.
But it was a big deal. The Packers didn't want him to go to the Vikings and all that other stuff. And so that was a massive game. But, I mean, this tops that by 10.
Bigger. Let's go to Bill in Springfield to kick things off with Gresh and Keefe. Hello, Bill.
How you doing, guys? Great show.
Thanks.
Listen, I don't think Belichick had even a choice as to whether he could keep Brady. Brady was gone 3 years ago. He signed that two-year deal, and then he went to Tampa. He saw a great opportunity in Tampa. He can do whatever the hell he wants, make whatever commercials he wants, do anything. And he couldn't do that with Bill. So I think he was gone, and Belichick had nothing to do with it, whether he got receivers or not.
Well, I completely disagree with you, Bill. I think what happened was you're part right. I think after 17, after they lost the Super Bowl and Butler didn't play, I think he wanted out. There's been plenty of reports about that he was furious. He was out. He wanted to be done. Robert Kraft stepped in. They were able to make up. He played in 18. What happened in 18? Oh, yeah, they won another Super Bowl. Then he came back for 19. But it was going into the 19 year where the contract, and once the public got smart on what the contract was, it was initially reported. You remember Field Yates, who's very tied in with the Patriots, said contract extension, two-year deal. No, it wasn't. It was a void year.
That's right.
So it was really just a one-year deal, like incentive. So as soon as they made Tom plan incentives, and as soon as Tom said, you can't franchise me, I think it was more then. The caller made it sound like it was years prior. No, they patched it up. They won a Super Bowl. And I also think, at that point, the Patriots weren't going to give him more money. I think if they just said, hey, you think you can play to 45? So do we. Sign a three-year deal right now at, you know, $25, $30 million a year. He would have done it. He would have stayed here. This was more of a Belichick decision than a Brady decision, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I know people want to say that Robert Kraft took it over. I'm not so sure about that. I think one of the real breaking points that we don't talk about enough was that you win that Super Bowl in 2018, and then what did they want to do with Gronk in 2019? Remember, it was the whole, or we want to trade the guy. Because remember, they wanted to trade Gronk to Detroit.
I thought that was 18.
So it was 18, right.
So going into 18, I think they were going to trade him. And then he retired.
Okay,
so
that's right.
And then he retired, so he didn't even play in 19.
But the thought was that in 2018, you wouldn't have even had it. They were going to trade him to Matt Patricia, who they knew was going to screw it up. And it would have given them the pick that they would have gotten T.J. Hockenson. Again, I think when you go back and you think of why did they draft Jimmy Garoppolo, Belichick was looking at the history of the league, saying these guys at 40 peter out.
Oh, he had the money quote that night. Remember age and contract status.
That's right. Brady. So I'm sure Brady felt Lord knows the old man felt disrespected, because unless he was bowing down and kissing his son's rear end, he doesn't seem to be happy. But Bill Belichick was actually making moves starting in 2014. To try to allow this to continue so that we didn't have to go through what we went through last year, which felt like a bottoming out, even though it was only 7-9. And I think that gets lost in a lot of this, is that what Bill Belichick was trying to do is something that no other GM in the league would probably do. Like in Tampa, if Tom Brady wakes up next year and says, give me a three-year extension because I'm now going to play till I'm 48. What do you think they're going to do?
They would do it.
That's exactly right.
They would do it.
Bill, I think, is philosophically so opposed to that. That's why these moves started happening, and it added to the deterioration of that relationship.
And I just think for fans, it was easier to take Brady's side in the immediate departure because they didn't have the backup plan. If they still had Jimmy Garoppolo, it's one thing. If they drafted Jalen Hurts, whether you like him or not, at least there's a plan.
Right.
Or they draft Jordan Love, and you're like, all right, see, they are going. But we had to watch all of last season with no quarterback plan where, oh, by the way, Tom Brady is still great and won a freaking Super Bowl on top of it. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like Tom Brady left or Tom Brady went somewhere and was just okay. The fact that he won the Super Bowl makes it very, very lopsided in this argument, at least as it stands right now.
Let's go to Jack in New Hampshire with Gresh and Keefe. Hello, Jack.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, I remember back in 17 when they lost to the Eagles. I mean, Brady, you know, he threw for 500 yards. He was furious after that Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. But in 18, all they had to do was bring in the Class B receivers like they did this year and get a competent backup, because he showed no drop-off, none. You know, they could be still winning Super Bowls. I mean, Belichick cut off his nose despite his face.
I will say
Brady
that
was still great.
Well, look, and Jack, that's the one thing I think Patriot fans agree on is Brady's great. There will be, I don't know if there's ever going to be another figure in the history of Boston sports that will end up being bigger than Tom Brady and his accomplishments here. And if there is one thing that you can applaud Bill Belichick for, but also criticize him at the same time, is that the guy has a plan, he believes in it, and sometimes he's inflexible. And yeah, maybe that's to your point on the whole,
right?
If you had to trade away the kid, which they did in Garoppolo, and you sent him to the place to where you thought Brady would want to go the most, and he's partially blocked, then at some point there should have been some level of softening. Mm-hmm. But was that really the line of demarcation? The drafting of Garoppolo, did that begin a process, or did that begin a fraying of the relationship between Brady and Belichick so much that at that point it couldn't be repaired?
I think it was repaired. They won three more Super Bowls after the drafting of Garoppolo. So I think it might have lit a fire under him. I think it may have affected the relationship a little bit, but it didn't hurt on field at all. In fact, you could make an argument that it helped on field.
I agree, and that's maybe where Belichick kind of fell into it backwards in his plan, is that he lit the fire under this guy, and now, look, Tom Brady should thank Bill Belichick, because I don't know if the whole TB12 method is born unless there is that, you're going to push me after this many years, you SOB?
Because I think there's been so many things that you could go back to that probably had to hurt Brady to a certain degree, right? You're so good with Deion Branch, but then Deion Branch wants a new deal. You're like, we're going to trade him away. You're like, wait, what? Like, this is a guy that I throw to all the time. You're going to trade him away?
Didn't care.
And then, you know, the weapons they had or didn't have in 06, that had to piss him off. But then in 07, you kind of go, you over course correct. But then next thing you know, like, Logan Mankins is gone. Wes Welker's gone. Like, some of his guys. But Brady just stayed with it. I think the biggest damage was the 17 Super Bowl. And then just not believing in him and being like, all right, how about a one-year deal? Like, we're going to treat you like Tim Wakefield and just give you one-year deals and play on incentives rather than agreeing with you that you can be the first guy to play to 45 and give you a true three-year guaranteed extension. They didn't do that, and that was enough for him to say, all right, I'm done.
Tom in Vermont with Gresh and Keefe. Hi, Tom.
Ooh, on a moped right now.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Tom.
Great.
Yeah, hopefully no one loses a leg back there, friend.
Yeah, I'm a landscaper. I don't think we have a place in telling Tom Senior to shut up. I mean, what he said is right. It's not like he's on a revenge tour. And, you know, I mean, Belichick screwed up, but we both have to move on. By the way, it's the first time I called since Badger joined the team, and I'm actually really enjoying your show. It took me a while to get used to it, but,
Well, thanks, Tom.
Anyways,
good luck out there today.
Yeah, Tom, be safe out there, please, and thank you, friend. So, and you're not the first person that has told me that in my life, so I'm good. Thank you.
But, I mean, I think the reason why we're saying just to shut up is it's just very odd to me that a 44-year-old needs his daddy to defend him in a podcast. Just think about that. It is it's an odd thing. It's okay to say it's odd. You might agree with what he's saying. He brings up a lot of points that are true, but you're like, what is he? Does he need to do this? What's happening?
By the way, his kid has one as well.
that he can say whatever he wants. And
oh, he has an open mic. He can go, Brady can Tom, go anywhere
Tom,
he wants.
Tom Brady, yeah. Like, yeah. I mean, if
he only
Tom,
speaks like five times a week,
exactly. And he's
damn
doing,
rights.
He's doing his damn his rights. Little podcast with his guy Scratchy Jim Gray,
the guy is
to
something.
Where he can. But that's the next layer of this that I want to get to later on.
Okay.
Why doesn't Tom Brady just say this stuff himself? Would
yeah, he uses Giselle, Jim Gray, and his dad to say stuff that he's feeling.
And Chopra's kid putting together this. I mean, this thing that ESPN Plus is going to show in November. Don't you think they're going to peel back the curtain a little bit?
Probably.
And we're going to, that's where we'll get a little bit of the, you know, maybe the way Tom Jr. really feels. And the reason I think that people like Keith and I look at the old man and say to shut up is because it's really not for his to communicate. And I know that Tommy Curran is going to join us at 110 from Tampa. He did ask him, well, you know, he asked him in the, how do you think it's going to feel? And then the old man is speaking for the kid. And what's really, and again, this is the part that drives me nuts. But when you think about it, what is one of Bill Belichick's rules in terms of guys that are doing media interviews? One of them, the very top, speak for yourself.
Right.
And it's amazing to me that Tom Brady is so aware of his public persona that daddy's got to go do the dirty work and surmise how Tom Jr. feels. So that way, if Tom Jr. starts to feel the blowback, he can be like, well, my dad just says like, stuff.
He's
like,
a lot of wheeze in there. A whole bunch of wheeze in there. Right? I'm pretty sure he's speaking for both of you. Because here's what I believe happened.
We owe a lot to the Patriots.
So we're going to talk to Curran at 110. But my guess is Curran asked Tom Brady Sr. if he would like to come on. I don't know when he asked him, but I'm sure he asked him. And don't you think Tom Sr. probably called his son and said, what do you think about this? I'm gonna hop on here. And he's like, sure, Dad, go ahead. Or do you think Tom Brady, the football player, was surprised that he went on?
I think he's surprised.
I don't think he was.
I don't think the old man clears everything.
I bet he cleared this.
But damn right.
But
he knows
like
what to say to where the kid won't call him directly and be like, what are you doing? You're killing me here.
See, I don't think Tom found out about it on like Instagram. I think Tom said, go ahead, Dad, fine. In fact, here's a couple of lines you can use.
So you think there is the open planting of lines going on from junior to senior?
Damn's right.
I'm sure the damn's right. I'm sure that he knows, but yeah. That's a part of this worth exploring, and we will definitely get into that piece of this a little bit later on, that maybe Tom Brady just needs to take some advice from John Mayer and say what you need to say.
Jesus.
What's wrong with that?
Quote John Mayer.
Are you
Mayer?
Not John Anderson?
Oh, huh? My God.
That's a good song.
You two guys are more alike than you ever thought.
Well, no. I
wouldn't put it in his top 100, but it's a good song.
All right, let's move on.
It is a good song. By the way, if you're listening on the Odyssey app, you leave work, get in the car, 93.7 FM here in Boston, 103.7 FM down in Providence. And when you get out of the car, make sure you're listening to us on the Odyssey app. Up next, we did what we knew about the Patriots yesterday. What is it that we still think we don't know about these New England Patriots? That's next.
Did you know you can watch Gresh and Keefe?
This is so sobering when I say this. I'm a 46-year-old man.
Just go to weei.com/watch or twitch.tv/BostonWEEI.
If you can only say what you need to say.
Yeah, yeah, Tom Brady Jr. We're gonna ask that question a little bit later on. Why doesn't Tom Brady Jr. just say what he needs to say and get it off his chest?
Damn right.
Damn right.
Well, damn right that there are certain things we still don't know about the 2021 New England Patriots. And Keith, I know you and I yesterday did the what we think we know about this team. Then there's the opposite, the what we think we don't know about this team. And for me, I thought the offensive line group had better quality depth, and now I am at least a little spooked as to can they fix it. When Bill Belichick was asked about right tackle, I think in a press conference on Monday, he was like, yeah, I think we're okay. He's got more confidence in the guys on the roster maybe than we as fans do right now.
Yeah, it looks like he doesn't want to do a complete shuffle because we know on one who can play outside, and he doesn't really want to do that yet. But if you struggle against the Saints, don't you have to go at it against the Bucs in a completely different manner? I know we're going to be talking about Tom Brady that entire week, but the offensive line for the Patriots is going to be a major factor if they have any kind of chance at all against those guys in Tampa.
And we're going to get an injury report this afternoon after practice, so we'll see how Trent Brown is listed on the injury report. I think you and I are kind of keep spearing it that he ain't playing this week to get him ready for Tampa, right?
Yeah.
Kind of feels that way.
I know, but again, anytime you have a big fella like that, and there's no more of a big fella in the league than Trent Brown, and
he's
got a quad injury, and a calf injury, and so as soon as he comes back, I'm not putting his name in pen for the rest of the season.
Agreed.
I feel like even the first game, even if it's not a complete tear or anything like that, just like a, ooh, you know what, maybe I'm not ready, or I can't play. You know, this series, we have a really long series. And we get a quick turnover. I don't think I can go back out there for this. Like, you're going to need another one of those guys to play tackle, I think, at some point this season.
Here's another thing that for me, Keith, that I don't know. I don't know, as crazy as this sounds, I don't really know if the Patriots defense will go from, say, a top 8 defense to a top 3 defense just by inserting Stephon Gilmore. In theory and in concept, it sounds like it would make them better.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Well, and you want to know why that is because their run defense isn't as improved as we thought it was going to be. I think the anticipation was, look at all these big fellas they got up front. It's all big fellas. But the front seven was overhauled from a year ago, and they were so bad against the run a year ago. This year really hasn't been great. The first game, the yards and the yards per carry looked good. But when you needed one last stop, couldn't. You knew they were going to run. They still ran it. And then this week against the Jets, they were dumb to stop running. They could have probably run up and down on you, and they didn't. So that is a concern for me. It's hard to be, you know, bottom of the pack in run defense, you know, bottom half of the league, and still be a top five team, you know, defensively.
Right, so, look at what Kansas City has had to do to pull that off the years.
They need to clean that up. And for me, it is the thing I don't think that I don't know is how good are the new wide receivers and tight ends. It's been pretty quiet through two games. A lot of that has been people accusing Mac Jones and Josh McDaniels of not pushing it downfield. But they spent a lot of money, and they did it really quickly in the offseason. And I know Aguilar had the touchdown week one, but all four of those guys are just kind of like, yeah, a few grabs, a couple first downs, like nothing. You can't call them a bust. It's been 2 weeks, but you can't also say, hey, money well spent. Look at these guys. Like, that is one that is still very much a TBD this season.
And I think there might have been a little less maybe worry or thought on that had the Patriots won week one. Believe it or not.
It is. Because it would have been 2-0, it feels a lot different.
Because it almost would have been an out of sight, out of mind thing. Mm-hmm. Because you'd be looking at the record and saying, look, we're taught and around here the result. Yeah. Exactly. It is 10:55. We're through hour one with Gresh and Keith. It is also a what if Wednesday. We are going to talk some baseball with Rob Bradford of the Red Sox Radio Network and WEEI.com at 11:30. We're going to do What If Wednesday next with a New Orleans Saints spin to it all. Don't go anywhere.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. the MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.